Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Danielle, the office manager at Striving Together Publications. Striving Together Publications is a ministry committed to providing you with life-changing books and resources. One of my favorite things about working for Striving Together is hearing your stories. Stories of how God has used a book, a CD, or a Sunday school curriculum in your life and ministry. Every day, we rejoice that our resources are helping others to come to Christ and helping Christians grow in their faith. Our online store is filled with resources that will encourage you and those you love. Be sure to visit us at strivingtogether.com, or we would love to talk personally with you. Just call toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Thank you for allowing us to serve you through Striving Together Publications.
This is much more than a holiday season. It is the Christmas season, which focuses on the one and only Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Next on Daily in the Word, we study the presentation of Christ with Pastor Paul Chappell. Stay with us. Us at Daily of the Word, including the staff at West Coast Baptist College, Lancaster Baptist Church, and Striving Together Publications, we wish you and your family a wonderful Christ-centered Christmas and a blessed new year. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This daily radio program comes to you every Monday through Friday and features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California. We are approaching Christmas, and we are going to discover today the presentation of the Christ, the one and only Savior of the world. Before we join today's message, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find on the website a host of resources, especially a link to our publications ministry, Striving Together Publications, where you'll find a wonderful collection of Christian books and resources to help others to grow in their Christian faith, a wonderful source of gifts and resources for the new year. All of it at dailyintheword.org. But now here's Dr. Paul Chappell to introduce today's message in this series, The Presentation of Christ.
I love Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and I suppose many of us have, from the early years of our life, turned to this chapter during the Christmas season. And let me also encourage you today to plan to have some family time during this Christmas time, time where you open Luke chapter 2 and where you remember what God did for us so many years ago in Bethlehem's manger. Today we're going to consider the presentation of Christ as God became man and dwelt among us. What a joyous time! And for those who have Christ in their heart, it's still a joyous time to this day.
And God moved so that they would come down past Jerusalem, 6 miles south of Jerusalem, coming into the little city of Bethlehem, that quiet place, which means the house of bread, that hilly region. It was a place, Bethlehem was, where physical bread was provided. And you'll see on this little picture of Bethlehem, the terraced hills, and you'll see the fertile valley around Bethlehem. It was a place that provided fruit and vegetables and harvest for the citizens of the area. Someone told once of the story of a teacher who asked her children, and she said, "Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem?" And one little boy raised his hand and said, "Because his mother was there." And that was a pretty good answer. But there's an answer beyond that. The real answer is, that's where God said his son would be born. And so he came to this place known as the house of bread. Bethlehem was a place that had provided physical bread. But more than that, Bethlehem now has been known for 2,000 years plus as the place where God provided physical bread, but also spiritual bread for all who would taste and believe of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Micah 5:2 said that he would be born in Bethlehem, this one whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting, speaking of the eternality of the Lord Jesus. But notice how John speaks of Jesus in John 6:32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You see, this prophetic destination called Bethlehem was not only the place where God had said many hundreds of years before, my son will be born in that place, but it was also the place which meant the house of bread. And Jesus Christ, as the bread of life, came so that all who believe on him will never hunger. They will be completely satisfied knowing that their sins are forgiven, knowing that Jesus is the way to a relationship with God the Father, and that through him we might be filled, through him we might be saved. And so we see in Luke chapter 2 a providential declaration. All the world will be taxed. But why, God? Why do you bring taxing? And why do you bring burdens? And why do you allow the governments and the companies and the problems to exist? Why, God? We may not always know why right at the moment, but you can know this, my friend. God's plan is always working on your behalf and mine. It was a providential declaration. It was a prophetic destination. But let's get down to the real point of it this morning. And notice with me, it was a perfect delivery. A perfect delivery, verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, every woman here would say, Pastor Chapel, there is no such thing as a perfect delivery. I understand that in the sense of labor. But I also understand, having been there with my dear wife on the occasion of the birth of our four children, that after all the pain of labor and delivery, when that precious child is placed into the hands and arms of that sweet mother, there's a wonderful moment where all of the pain, all of the labor is forgotten, and now the blessing of life is considered. And here on this particular day, not merely the blessing of life, the perfection of the one that Mary held. He was the Son of God. Notice the presentation of Christ. The presentation of Christ. We see the Bible says she brought forth her firstborn son. Jesus certainly was the son of Mary. No doubt about that. He was the God-man. He was born as a man into this world, but he was more than a man. He was the God-man. He was the Son of God. And the Bible says she brought forth her firstborn son. He is called in the scriptures the Son of the Highest. Luke 1:32, he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. The Son of the Highest, meaning the Son of God. But someone says, if he's born of Mary, how could it be that he is God? How could he be called the Son of God? That, my friend, is answered by the scriptures in the simple fact that in Luke 1:35, we realize that Mary did not conceive of a man or from the seed of a man and from the Adamic sin line of man, but Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He is the Son of the Highest. Now, because the Holy Spirit conceived in Mary, and because then he was the Son of God, I want you to read there with me in your notes how that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. For this is the cornerstone of our faith. This is the fundamental reason that we celebrate this season. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now find that phrase and let's read that together, please. God was manifest in the flesh. All right, one more time. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, there are those today who say, all religions are about the same, Pastor Chapel. Let's just hold hands with all the other religions and let's just all get along because they're all about the same and all roads lead to about the same place. There are those who say that. that all religions are about the same. But let me tell you something, my friend. Jesus Christ alone is God in the flesh. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. And oh, how we must understand the cornerstone of our faith this morning is that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove at the day of his baptism, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory, where he is at this moment at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. That's why Colossians 2 and verse 9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now when Mary and Joseph on that first Christmas morning then presented their child and held the Christ child in their arms, there was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, deity wrapped in humanity, the Son of God coming to live a perfectly sinless life, so that when the blood was shed on Calvary, it was not the blood of the Adamic sin line, but it was the blood of heaven being shed for the sins of the entire world. And we must never apologize for being fundamental Bible-believing Christians, that is, people who believe the fundamental truths of this book. We are not a liberal, modernist, watered-down, wishy-washy church. We believe that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God who lived a perfectly sinless life, who died on an old rugged cross, who shed his blood, and that without the shedding of that blood, there is no remission of sin, and that until we trust Christ as our Savior, there is no hope of heaven for all of eternity. For without Christ, we are without hope today. The presentation of Christ is that he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's the presentation that was made. But notice, if you would, secondly, the picture. There's a picture here. We have a picture of a manger this morning, and sometimes we see it as a wooden structure. I don't know about you, but every time I see a nativity scene, it touches my heart. To think that deity wrapped in humanity, the Son of God, was born in a stable and was laid in a manger, perhaps something like this, there in Bethlehem, is very humbling to me. And then he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. These would be the same types of wrappings that would be placed around the body of Jesus after his death when he was placed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And we see in these wrappings, in these swaddling clothes, that Jesus Christ is showing us a picture. And that is that he was born to die. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born with the heavenly blood mentioned a moment ago, having been conceived of the Holy Ghost, if you will. He was born that he might die on the cross for our sins, and that that blood would be the sufficient covering for our sin, pleasing God that he might declare us righteous who are in Christ Jesus. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Philippians 2:8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so we see the presentation of the Son of God. And we see the picture here of the swaddling clothes representing the fact that he was born to die. But I want you to see finally with me this morning the problem. Maybe it's already been seen by some in this room. The Bible says in verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Read that last phrase with me, please. Because there was no room for them. My friend, that's a problem. It's a problem that there was no room for him in the inn. Now, it was again the plan of God. As your problem today is the plan of God. But I say to you that it is a problem when men and women have no room for Jesus Christ. And we see in this story the predicament of mankind today. Millions of people who have room for sports, who have room for fun, who have room for computer games, who have room for Budweiser, who have room for vodka, who have room for Las Vegas, but they have no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. None. The material man has no room. He has room for overtime. He has room for his possessions, but he has no room for Jesus. Mark 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul? The intellectual man many times has no room for Jesus. He is vaunted up and proud of his possession of knowledge and his profession of his own ideas and philosophies. This past week, Newsweek magazine had an article of all absurd things, the very worst case of journalism I have ever seen in my entire life, when they tried to take Bible verses and prove a biblical case for same-sex marriage. How absurd! They twisted the scriptures. They did not present Genesis 2, Ephesians 5, Romans chapter 1 in their perverted attempt to defend this matter of gay marriage. The editor of Newsweek, Joe Meekum, said, and I quote, "To argue that something is so because it is in the Bible is more than intellectually bankrupt. So on one hand, they use the Bible to present their argument. On the other hand, they call those who believe in the Bible intellectually bankrupt." In other words, those today who are professors of the world's wisdom consider those who believe the Bible to be the Word of God non-intellectual and unworthy to even enter into the argument, so to speak. But I want you to notice what the Bible says about man's intellectualism in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please, and verse 18. And please read it carefully. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ and him crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." And someone says, "Pastor Chappell, standing up in this pulpit for 23 years at Christmas time in Lancaster and shouting out and preaching out about Jesus and the cross. Why, it's just foolishness." That's exactly what the world may call it, but we intend, as long as we have breath in our lungs, to stand and proclaim Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. Oh, every magazine written may belittle and scoff the name of Jesus, but we are here to worship the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, the material man has no room for it, and the intellectual man has no room for it, and many times the religious man has no room for it. He has room for his interfaith council, and they have room for the Wiccans, and they have room for their little idea of pantheism, and they have room for all religions, but they do not mention the name of Jesus Christ. Just a few weeks ago here in the city of Lancaster at the United Methodist Church, there was a service, an interfaith council service at Thanksgiving time. The pantheists were there, and the interfaith council had the Wiccans, or those given to the study of the earth and to the earth goddess Gaia and the witches and so forth, and all the little interfaith gathering together. I read the newspaper article about the gathering. Not once was the name of Jesus mentioned in the newspaper. Not once was the Bible mentioned. Not once was a Bible verse mentioned. Do you understand? You can have religion and still not be saved according to the Word of God. I have no time. I have no interest in gathering with a bunch of so-called pastors and holding hands in the interfaith movement that does not include my wonderful Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I worship and bow down to this morning, you see. I have no interest in religion that has no room for Jesus. Look at what the Bible says, John 5:17. "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." You see, even the religious crowd in Jesus' day, the Bible says, sought to kill him because he said he was the Son of God. What a tragedy that men have no room for Jesus. Have you noticed there's a movement in this country that we don't want to have prayer in the public schools? Have you noticed at some of your Christmas parties that you're being told to keep it non-sectarian? Talk to me. Have you noticed that you can say Happy Holidays but not Merry Christmas? Have you noticed the world every single passing day? They want to have religion, but they don't want to talk about the reason for the season. And the reason is Jesus Christ. You see? The world seems to say it louder every year. No room. No room. No room. Some years ago at a resort town on the East Coast, there was a meeting being held by a community that was in dire straits financially. They were trying to figure out how to save their community and have different bake sales and different ways of raising funds for their pier that needed repair and their roads and so forth. And as they were discussing these things, a man walked in. He sat in the back and he raised his hand once to give comment, to give suggestion, but no one really appeared to notice him, and they kept talking over him, and finally he left. As he left, another man was walking in, and he said to some of the folks in the back, "Why was he here? The guy that just left, why did he leave? Is he here to help our community? How do things go with him?" One of the men said, "Well, I don't know. Who was he? I don't even know why I was here. What did he want to do with our community?" And the man that had just walked in said, "Well, that was John D. Rockefeller that had just walked in." The man that had just walked in could have purchased the whole town, could have built several more just like it with his spare change, and yet never once was he given a moment to say a word. And I say to you this morning, the one who can change your life and salvage your marriage, the one who can make a difference in your relationships is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who can save your soul from an eternity in hell and give you an eternity in heaven. His name is Jesus Christ, but you'll have to listen to him this morning when he simply presents himself as the Son of God. You'll have to receive him by faith today, for the Bible says we are saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the grace of God we might be saved, and as many as receive him become the sons of God. Listen this morning, don't shut God out. Don't say you have no room for God today. He has a wonderful gift for you. That gift is eternal life. The Bible says in John 4 and verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it was that saith to thee, give to me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's why the Apostle Paul said, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." How many of you have come to the place in your life and your spiritual maturity when you can honestly say at Christmas time, just being saved is enough? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Oh, you don't mind a new shirt, a pair of socks, or some fruitcake? Well, maybe the fruitcake. You don't mind some of the other things, but with Jesus, we have an unspeakable gift. Christ was content with the stable when he was born, so that we may have a mansion when we die. He came to give you life and life eternal. And if you don't have that, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord can be saved."
Do you know for sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? My friend, you don't need to take a Bible college class to settle that issue. If you believe that you are a sinner separated from God because of sin, and if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to forgive you of that sin, then even right now you could pray and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, to come into your life and save you from your sin, and give you a home in heaven for all of eternity. You could make that call to Jesus Christ right now by prayer and be saved through faith.
Well, thank you, Pastor. And friend, if you have made that decision, we would love to hear from you, and we'd like to send you a gift Bible and a workbook that will help you understand what it means to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Please call us toll-free or visit us on the website and let us know that you've trusted Christ as Savior as a result of this ministry. I'll give you that contact information in just a moment. As you begin preparing for a new year, I do hope you'll visit dailyintheword.org. Dailyintheword.org is the website of this radio program, and it's an extension of our commitment to you to preach and teach the uncompromised truth of the Word of God. On the website, you'll find a link to the podcast for Daily in the Word. You can subscribe or download Daily in the Word right to your computer or iPod. Take it with you and listen to it at your convenience. You can also refer a friend to Daily in the Word. If you know of someone that could benefit from this program but does not live in an area where it's broadcast, encourage them to stop by dailyintheword.org. You'll also find links to Dr. Chappell's personal blog, a free subscription to the daily devotional from Pastor Chappell, and a link to our online bookstore, Striving Together Publications, where you'll find books, music, curriculum, and many more resources for your spiritual growth and for your ministry in your local church. All of this and more is found at dailyintheword.org. We would so love to hear from you. As a listener, we would rejoice to know that our program is touching your life on a daily basis. Please stop by and let us know that you're listening. Click the Contact Us button and drop us an email. Or you can call us toll-free. Our number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that toll-free call is 1-800-201-7748. Thank you so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.